Now, I know that I'm being very candid in this discussion, but I'm going to tell you this. My goal is to point out the tremendous disservice that people who purport to be Christians do themselves and the people of influence who they should be influencing, the tremendous disservice that they do themselves and those politicians and other people of influence when they fail to truly represent Christ Jesus with regards to the principles that they promote, etc. Here's another scripture that a lot of Christians really, really like when we start talking about politics, when we start talking about the way nations govern themselves. Proverbs 14, verse 34. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation. It is so amazing that so many people, churchgoers, really clap their hands loud and say, amen, 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 when that scripture is read or quoted. Righteousness exalts a nation. And so many other people who are shouting loud about that and saying, yes, are committing adultery, are swingers, slanderers. They're people who have all kinds of hatred and vitriol in their hearts towards people of the other political persuasion. And no matter what those people try to do, what the others try to do, it can't be right. It has to be wrong. And when you see, you can point out scripture that clearly makes the case for the position of the other party. They won't hear it. They don't care what kind of evidence you support, statistics or scripture. They reject it. And yet, they get all excited when someone quotes, righteousness exalts a nation. And when they have a president who is committing all kinds of sins, all kinds of egregious sins, because that president is from their camp, they make excuses for that president. They diminish and minimize the fact that those sins are being committed, the impact that those sins are having on millions upon millions of people. Someone from the other camp can do something far less egregious, and they want that leader's head on a platter. Again, demonstrating, illustrating their hypocrisy. Because here's the thing. When we truly hate adultery, we hate adultery no matter who's committing it. We don't get angry and vitriolic when we find out that someone from that other party committed adultery. And then when it's someone from our party committing adultery, we're okay. We're just as cool, calm, and collected. And we can make excuses. We can explain it. We can start justifying. We start talking about forgiveness. Then talk about forgiveness when that other party's leader was accused of wrongdoing, but one of their own leaders accused of the exact same thing. And now the talk is about forgiveness and compassion. Righteousness exalts a nation. Sin is a disgrace to any people. Think about nations of power, historic nations, nations who had power historically, tremendous power, like Egypt, like Rome, like Greece, nations with tremendous power, and over time they were brought down. A lot of people like to say that it had to do with these barbarians coming in. It had to do with the way they were handling the economy. They give all these different reasons. And I'm not going to say that none of those reasons given are immaterial. I'm not saying that. But I will say this. What all those nations had in common is that they all rejected God's ways. They rejected God and they rejected his ways. Righteousness exalts a nation. The problem becomes when we don't have enough people in a given nation who care about God's righteousness to promote it. If God's righteousness is not being promoted, his righteousness will not exalt. If the people of the nation don't promote God's righteousness in sincerity, then there will be no righteousness there to exalt that nation. Because remember, you have a family of eight people. Just because two members of that family are Christian, that does not make the family a Christian family. Likewise, just because you have some people in a nation who are Christian, that does not make that nation a Christian nation. Proverbs 12, verse 28. In the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. In the way of righteousness is life. And this life is what the Christians who get the ear of the powerful politicians should be led towards. They should be leading them towards life, eternal life. That should be number one. Not bragging rights that you have the phone number. Because truth be told, when we really want to do what's right for God's glory, simply because we want to join him in his eternal agenda, to rescue people from eternal darkness so that they can enjoy eternal peace with God throughout all eternity. That should be job one. And when we're doing that, it becomes easier to encourage, to at least try to encourage people of power, people of influence, to think the way God thinks and to promote what God pushes, what he demands. In the way of righteousness is life. And we should be promoting God's righteousness, not our own righteousness, because as the prophet said, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. We should be fine-tuned to God's righteousness, which is the only true righteousness, and be acquainting the powers that be with this righteousness, with true righteousness, God's righteousness, for the sake of their eternal peace and joy. How will they spend eternity? How will you try to impact that, Christian leaders?